Seminar.
It is Tuesday the 15th of November, and we're speaking to Michael Gawenda.
Okay, so I lived in Fitzroy for most of my primary school years. Basically, that was the period that I lived at George Street State School. I lived in the Milk Bar on the corner of Gore Street and Street. My parents ran, it was in that place where we lived. I see it's still got the upstairs.
And, yeah.
There was me, my mum and dad, my older sister. I had a sister who was 6 years older than me. She lived, and I was here basically from the time they bought that shop. I think I was in grade one, so we worked out, or grade, yeah. And I went to George Street State School, and we lived here, and I was actually enrolled to go to Fitzroy High, but my mother died that period before school started. So we left Fitzroy, basically. My dad couldn't cope with... My mum basically ran the shop, and my dad was not a great person. It must have been 3 or 4 months after she died, 12, go into with Fitzroy. So that's the period that we're talking about. So I never worked here.
Yeah.
I was a child.
We're talking 50s?
50s. So, you know, say if I went to, I was born in 47, so I must have started school in 52 or 53. So it was that period until 58 or 59, 60. Sorry that I'm so vague on times. That was the period, and it was a milk bar, mixed business. That was, yeah, I see the pub store across the road.
Yeah.
Everything. The houses look more or less the same, up a bit. But so that's the period we're talking about.
Yeah. So what was it like starting school here, because you came, how old were you when you came up?
Six. When I came to Australia?
Yeah, when you came to Australia.
No, I was three.
Three, right.
Two and a half when we came to Australia. For the first couple of years I first arrived, I didn't speak English. My parents spoke to me in English. I didn't go to kindergarten, I remember, and so... But I must have learned some English, because by the time I started school, some kindergarten or some place in a synagogue where we were living in Elwood, a lot of the Jews that came after the war, who were Holocaust survivors, they went to either Carlton or St Kilda. There were places in St Kilda where they were looked after. We were in some house, in a communal house in Elwood. So the big thing, so I remember coming to Fitzroy, us moving, because we had been living with my sister, my eldest sister, her children. She was 20 years old, 19 years older than me. She was married, she had children, and we had come out together, and we were living in this house together. When my mother decided she wanted to go into business, or she wanted to something. So I remember the move very well, because I remember not being sort of not wanting to go to school to start with. I didn't know anybody. I didn't want to go to the school. But really quickly, my memory is that I made friends with the kids that lived around the shop. I mean, there was a mixture of people. You would know this. I mean, others would have told you there was old Australian working class people, the Italians had started to move in, Greeks and Yugoslavs. There were they worked in the shoe factories and the textile factories. I think that was a shoe factory. It was some sort of factory across the road, because we played cricket up against
Where the apartments are.
Yeah, it was a factory. It wasn't a warehouse. It was actually a factory of some sort. And there were certainly factories around these streets. I mean, people went to work locally.
I have heard that. You know, some of the other neighbours said all the women worked in the factories in
the... They were either shoe factories or textile factories. So, there were even... I think there might have been, I think, clothes, when I say textiles, I think they were clothing, or there was even a carpet factory in one of these streets. I know that because my father was a weaver. He didn't work in that factory, but he knew about it. And in fact, there was somewhere nearby, one of these streets, where it may have been on Gore Street, the Labour Party branch meetings were held. I think it was just a few doors down. And of course, the workers from this area made up the Labour Party branch. So, and what was I saying? The kids were all played in the street. That's where we played. I mean, there weren't much. There weren't backyards, right? I mean, he couldn't play. There were tiny backyards, but we weren't playing those. We played in the streets.
Yeah.
Everything we played, kicking the football, playing cricket. Marbles were big when I was a kid, so you played marbles on the footpath. I don't know how you stopped the marbles, but we but we did. And my memory is that within a very short period of time, I was close. I was friends. I had friends, you know. I remember in the house on Gore Street next door to the shop, there was an Italian family. I remember the two girls were called Domenica and Miguch. They were little girls. I think their English was... They spoke Italian at home. They may have spoken English. They certainly spoke English with me. So I was friends with them. There was a little Yugoslav boy that lived a bit further down. Now, some of these people I have met over the years in the most unusual circumstances. When I was editor of The Age, one of the cleaners was a boy that I had grown up with down the street. I can't remember what he was, a Yugoslav boy. He wasn't the one that I was first talking about, but we were really good friends. And suddenly I hadn't seen him. I'd worked at The Age before. He'd been there. I saw him one day in the cafeteria at The Age. Well, it was an amazing experience and coincidence. So we sat down and talked about
life.
Yeah, and then we saw each other a bit. I mean, eventually he was embarrassed or something. I eventually got him to come, you know, with his wife to my place, and we talked about the past. He retired. But that's my memory. The kids played in the street. We played in a block. We never went past Johnson Street, except to go to the football ground,
right.
Even though I was an Essendon supporter, which I never could admit.
I was going to say,
because my mother went to the Victoria Market when I was little. We were living here already. And she bought me an Essendon jumper. And she bought the jumper because she thought, it's black, gets dirty, you can't see the...
you can't see the door. Exactly, a friend of mine is an Essendon supporter.
Yeah.
She probably did the same thing.
And, of course, from then on, I was an Essendon supporter. I never wore the jumper to George Street. Never told. And, of course, we went to the football. I never went to Essendon. We could walk up to... we were allowed to cross Johnson Street to go to the football ground. But that was really the boundary. There was the picture theatre on Johnson Street that we could go to, but it's on this side of Johnson Street. You have to cross over Johnson Street. Do you know that?
Yeah. Was that kind of an unwritten law, or was it a parental thing, you don't cross Johnson Street?
We just never did. I think it must have been a parental... It must have been something we were told.
Yeah.
That's your area. Can't remember going much down to Gertrude Street. We went to Smith Street, and there was a police boys' club.
Cross over
Webb Street,
yeah.
And there was sort of a little parky type area. There were toilets, and it's a street. And you can, and the police boys' club was on the corner, just inside there. And we went there. I mean, it was a his boys' club is, but that's what it was called.
Yeah.
And the local police must have run it, or, you know.
And what sort of things did you do there? Like,
you did exercises. There was a boxing ring, so we all had a go at boxing. We punched the bags. You know, so that's how we spent our time. We went there. Of course, when television came, we used to all go down at night down Smith Street to Foy's, and you could watch TV in the window. I don't know whether you could actually hear anything, but there were crowds of people, crowds of kids would stand there.
It was a novelty, too.
Yeah, no one had a TV, so you'd stand there and watch TV. And there was no such thing as their parents weren't scared to let their... We were on the street at night.
Yeah.
We were, you know, okay, we didn't cross Johnson Street, but we went all over the place.
It reminds me a little bit, I suppose it's just how resourceful children are about playing in the street in Manhattan.
Yeah, because that's where they got to play.
Because they didn't have their backyards either.
But we never thought we were deprived. I mean... We could play all over the place.
Well, and a lot of freedom too.
And everybody knew us.
As long as you're back by dinner time or...
Yes. Yeah. Often we would go and play after dinner. There was no sort of fear of letting kids out in the street. Look, truth is that everyone knew us. There were some... I mean, that was a rough old pub across the road.
Yeah.
I don't know if other people have told you that, but there were fights there all the time. And our shop had a kind of, you could sit on the roof. You still got something there. I don't know whether it's the original, but you could go out the windows and sit on the roof. So three or four of us would sit on the roof. You could see the fights. Watch the fights across the road. Absolutely. And it was regular. It was kind of, you know, there was the 6 o'clock swill. And they'd pour out and there'd be fights. I mean, I don't know whether they're arguing about whether you drank my last beer or... but there were, and I'm not saying they were vicious. I can't remember them being, you know, shockingly awful fights. There was probably a lot of pushing and shoving and, you know... But it was that sort of neighbourhood. And, look, I don't think I'm making this up. I think that was a brothel across the road.
Which
across the road here, on Gore Street, on the corner of Gore and Webb Street.
Okay.
Right? Opposite the pub. But I'm pretty sure, because I can remember the girls used to come into the shop to buy stuff, used to talk to them. We eventually, you know, when I was 9 or 10 years old, watched the men going in and out. I'm sure I'm not making this up. I mean...
Well, there were certainly plenty of brothels around.
Yes, I can't ask my dad and mum are long dead, but and the sister who lived with us was dead, but I'm sure that was true.
And presumably it wasn't really spoken about to the kids.
No, I would never mention it to my parents.
Yeah.
But we knew.
Yeah.
We didn't know exactly, but we knew men were going in and out of there. We knew the girls came over to buy
and
things.
And you knew it was something you shouldn't ask about.
And it was, you know, late into the night. So, and we knew it was something we shouldn't ask about.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I think that's, you know, in some ways, maybe because it's my childhood years, you know, but they were the greatest years of my childhood, really. I mean, I was very sad to leave Troy. I left friends. And we moved to Caulfield, which was a kind of...
Very different.
Totally different life.
Yeah.
Kids didn't live on the streets. There was no kind of street life at all. People lived behind... I hated it.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I'm... Because my memory as a child, in my memory generally, it's the only place I lived where there was a neighbourhood, where everybody knew everybody. There wasn't anyone in the street that we didn't know. There wasn't anyone that we couldn't...
Now, I guess that meant all the adults were watching out for the kids. So if you were a couple of blocks away and, you know,
fell
over or something, then...
Certainly up and down... Up and down Gore Street, up and down Webb Street, Joy Street, because we went to school there and walked home from there. We knew the people. We knew the people who ran the picture theatre. I don't think we went there all the time, but we used to go. I can remember that I saw my first Elvis Presley movie, Love Me Tender, in the Fitzroy. There's lots of things like that I remember. My first long pair of pants I got from a little tailor. My dad got this tailor across the road, actually on the corner of Gore Street and Webb Street, a house in, to make me my first pair of long trip, taking the tram the first time with my son, and wondering, worrying that the doctor is going to think, because you have to pay full fare over 13 or something, was going to think, you know, I was 10 years old or whatever. But in my memory, it was the only place that I lived in where there was that sense of neighbourhood, everybody, each other. And they were, you know, they were different groups of people, Italians, Yugoslavs, Greeks, old Australian working class people. Can't remember there ever being any, certainly no tension between, amongst the kids. I can't remember that there would have been between the, I mean, we ate at different people's pieces quite often. So that depending where we were, those parents fed four or five of us.
Right.
Mum did. Those Italians next door, my first Italian food with that family, and I remember it really.
So you got to like eat different types
of food. Because we ate whatever we were, yes. And so by the time we were 10 or, you know, we had eaten a heap of different food. And for me, you know, that Italian food is a memory, but you know what I remember? One of the best in some ways. I went to some a boy's place. They were an old Australian family. And they served eggs with tomato sauce on them. I thought I was in heaven. We never had tomato sauce at home. I can't remember. But we did after that. So we really... I think we were exposed to a lot of different people without knowing we were from a lot of different backgrounds.
I was about to say, maybe did your mother start stocking tomato sauce in the shop?
Oh, they had tomato sauce in the shop anyway. But we never used it.
Oh, right, okay.
Until then we did use it.
So completely multicultural without even, you know.
Well, the word didn't exist. We didn't know what it meant.
It was what it is.
And I think that maybe Carlton was a bit like that too. I don't know. But Fitzroy was certainly working class area. I mean, I don't know what happened in other inner suburbs where you had, for years, it would have been the whole decade of the 50s and into the 60s, longer than that, where you had a working class suburb made up of people from all sorts of different places that lived well together. School was multicultural. I mean, we were never told that, you know, be kind to each other, you're all from different parts of, I mean, it was kind of like, we're all the same, just.
Yeah.
And I think, looking back, that must have been pretty unique. That would have maybe existed in other places. So.
Was a lot of that post-war, do you think, like people coming out from Europe post-war, or was it already?
No. I reckon it was post-war. The arrival of the Italians and the Greeks and the Yugoslavs was post-war. Fitzroy, before the war, would have been a very old, working-class Australian suburb. And you could see the changes they made when they came. The Greeks painted their houses light blue, you know, that kind of... They were from the islands or whatever. They made their houses. So even the architecture changed in that sort of way. The Italians grew vines. I mean, even next door where they had, it was out in the street, they grew vines on the walls of their houses.
Yeah.
But I think that came after the war. I think, but the old Australian working class family stayed there. I mean, maybe not all of them. I don't know how some of them would have, you know, got better off and moved to, you know, a quarter acre block somewhere or other. I mean, most of the Italians here, our neighbours and others, ended up moving out to, you know, the newer suburbs, because they could get land and they could, you know.
Well, I guess as people got a little bit better off.
They moved out, So, but there was a period, that post-war period, where I think the seeds of kind of multicultural Melbourne were kind of planted organically. It wasn't government policy. It wouldn't have been the policy of either of the major political parties. It wouldn't have been the council. It just happened. People, you know.
Well, I guess the divisions were more about class in those days than about ethnicity. So
absolutely.
It was about workers.
And this was a working class suburb.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, I don't know, these were workmen's cottages. They were, they went to work. There were I suppose there must have been factory owners that, you know.
Yeah, well, I thought that was my understanding of Workman's Cottage, was they were probably built by factory owners for their workmen.
Yeah, you know. That's what they were.
Yeah, and then the factory owners sort of lived, I don't know, a bit further north or a bit
further. But, you know, the vast majority of people, I mean, it was a different sort of life because the vast majority of people didn't have a car, for instance. I can't remember ever going out and, you know, we didn't have a car. And I can't remember ever going in a car with...
I guess that's why you could play on the streets, because there weren't a million cars out there.
That's the other thing.
Or
yes.
Parked cars. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, you could have a whole day's game of cricket on here in Webster. They had a kind of wall that you could... paint that on or draw it that on. I can interrupt it 6 or 7 times a day.
Yeah.
No one had cars, or very few people had cars. You know, it wasn't parked up like it is now. So, and I don't think the years that we were here, that changed. People hadn't started moving out. That must have happened a bit 60s. Factories were still operating. I've brought my kids here sometimes. They can't believe that there were factories here. I just don't know what a factory is.
Well, yeah.
That's
all the
truth.
Factories are now Ritz. Any of that have survived are Ritzy apartments.
That's
now,
right.
Warehouse
yes.
apartments.
Yeah.
So
I think it was a kind of unique moment. I've written a bit about this at different times in different things, just about my childhood and people that, you know. The freedom was, you know, looking back, was astounding, what kids were allowed to do.
Yeah,
it does sound like
my childhood in the 60s and early 70s, I just think the amount of freedom that I had compared with what kids have now.
So, we were lucky. And because we all lived in small places close to each other, people spent a lot of time on the street because you don't want to spend time in the house. They went to the pub and then they went and, you know, people used to stand outside to talk.
Well, yeah. Presumably the mum would send the kids out of the house anyway.
Well, they wouldn't want them in there.
There was
nowhere for them to play anyway. And so you had an amazing amount of freedom. And like I said before, it went late into the night. I mean, when I say late into the night, we were up at 9, 10, and still out. Come home. My parents, that shop was open. The shop was open till 10 or 10:30 because people still came. But I can't remember them ever worrying about where I was or what I was doing. Even when a group of us would sit out there on the... your parents letting you get out the windows and sit on the roof when you're 9 or 10 years old watching what's going on.
Yeah.
So they were great times. I think this was I would be amazed if people, I mean, obviously adults that live here now have a totally different experience in Fitzroy than we had, but I'd be amazed if you, I don't know how many people you're able to speak to who grew up. He say what I said, that it was the moment. It was just a fantastic period in this.
I don't know. I haven't talked like of your generation, but I growing up here. But I do have some neighbours here who
haven't moved out
yet. Yeah.
Well, they would know. I mean, they've seen some changes.
Yeah.
Well, but a couple of them I've approached for.
They won't do it.
I think they're very.
I'm not sure. One of their daughters said she.
Yeah,
I keep trying. That confidence of language, I think, is.
They've been here for that long. I wonder whether they know that. Us.
Well, probably.
I mean,
they might. I should ask.
I mean, we were in that shop. Chances are they would have gone there at some stage, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah.
Quite
the local shop, yeah.
Yeah.
So what year was it?
Well, from 53 to 60.
Okay.
So I can't believe that they wouldn't know.
No, yeah. I'll have to ask them exactly when. Because one of them is claimed.
53 is more than 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm like, actually.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
it might be. Yeah.
But
maybe they, even that, if 50, yes, I've got to
65,
stop thinking at 60 years,
60
yes.
Year.
Anyway, they may. But I think that, obviously, anyone who grew up in Fitzroy in the 90s had a different experience of growing up here than but I'd be amazed if people of my vintage who grew up here wouldn't say the things that said it was just a wonderful place to
Just that level of freedom
to grow up. Yes.
You know, and the gangs of kids. Like, I do have, you know, friends who've grown up in, like, Coburg and places like that in that era, and they've said the same thing, that it was just sort of their street was a gang.
Oh, there was. And there were, look, I don't want to...
And I don't mean a gang in a bad way, I mean a gang in a good way.
But I don't want to sugarcoat this entirely. There were kind of, you know, there were instances of, when I think back to it, of us witnessing domestic violence, seeing it, because it was all done out on the street. I mean, and the next day the woman come, we'd see it. A woman come into the shop and she'd have a black eye, or there'd be some, you know, it wasn't all paradise. I mean, there were, I suppose, like everywhere, there were things like that. There were fights between gangs of, you know, back then there were bodgies and widgies. So there were bodgies that had different, they weren't huge. I mean, but what I can't remember is ever being scared. So whatever was going on, the kids were okay.
Yeah.
You know, the kids weren't beaten, the kids weren't abducted, the kid, you know. Look, I wouldn't have known what sexually assaulted as a kid was. I don't believe ever. Maybe it happened and no one talked about it. I don't know. But
yeah, I wonder that too about, because I didn't even know such things existed until I was in my 20s.
So I mean, it wasn't part of our experience. I mean, not that I don't, and how could it have been? We were always in gangs. We were always in groups. We never...
Yeah.
You know, we were never...
Well, and that's the sort of thing that happens behind closed doors. And if you're not behind closed doors...
That's right. So, anyway, so when I think about it, I think that they were unique years. And that... I reckon it was a better form of multiculturalism than official multiculturalism.
Oh, forced on you.
Yes, where you know there are organisations who work towards, you know, whatever it is. It was kind of organic. It came about because, you know, both new arrivals and old Australians had to come to terms with each other. It wasn't like, you know, you have to adopt everything that I do and I'm going to... It was like it was organic. People, you know, I'd imagine the first time people tasted food other than their food was in someone's home. It wasn't... You didn't go to a restaurant to try, we've got to have some Italian food. It was in people's homes. And so I think they were... And I look, back then I knew some Italian words. I mean, I could understand because their parents spoke only Italian. So
presumably everyone was relatively poor, but like as a child were you kind of aware of the poverty, or was everyone equally struggling?
Well, I wasn't aware of the poverty.
Right.
Except people didn't have things.
Yeah, if food was on the table, I guess.
We ate.
Yeah.
Yes, there were families that I can remember coming to the shop to get yesterday's bread rather than today's because it was half price or whatever it was. There were, but we never registered to me that people, we weren't into things anyway. I mean, I can't remember that. Yes, I wanted a bike, and all of us wanted a bike. We didn't all get a bike when we wanted it. Some of us, I got a bike eventually, but we shared those, you know. But I can't remember wanting anything else. I can't remember hassling my parents, for instance, to buy a television because it was kind of so far beyond what we would do. We didn't have it.
It was like wanting a Mercedes. It just was like...
or a car, you know.
Yeah.
Firstly, they didn't need a car. Right? Most people didn't need a car. They worked locally. They didn't. And so I think people were poor. Looking back, I think people struggled. I mean, you had often only one person worked. Women often didn't work. Some women did because there were factories where some of the women around, especially the Italian and Greek and who could work sewing machines. They sewed clothes. They would have got paid a pittance. I mean, they were doing that work because they were cheap. I mean, they were really cheap. They weren't paid a wage. They were paid piecework. Right? Some of them did it at home. They weren't... there's no doubt people were not rich. And some people were really quite poor. You know, when I think of... You know, the people that came regularly to get yesterday's bread, the people that were very careful about what they bought, a lot of it was kind of tin food, cheap. We didn't have, like, it was a shop with a grocery store attached to it. There were two rooms. One was the front, was a milk bar, then around to the side, on this side, was a kind of grocery store with, you know, shelves of groceries.
Yeah.
But we didn't have... cuts of meat, for instance, or because I don't reckon anyone could afford that. We didn't. We wouldn't have sold much of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had canned pie, which I really liked. I don't even know if it still exists. Canned pie. It's a sort of square tin.
Yeah, kind of like. Yeah, pressed meat.
Yeah. I don't even know what sort of meat it was.
Well,
we sold a lot of that sort of stuff. You know, must have been other things that there used to be butcher shops. Smith Street was a great street.
It did have butchers.
But see, for us, I can't remember eating anything but chicken.
Did people keep chickens in their yards?
We didn't have chicken, but my mum might have bought chickens from people. Yeah, people kept chickens in their yards.
Yeah, so they were cheap.
But when I was growing up, my mother used to abbot with a chicken
right.
to pretend it was chicken.
Yeah.
So a chicken was a lot more.
It was. Yeah. Rabbit was still, you could buy rabbit and it was cheap compared to all other.
Yeah, because by the 60s we used to all want chicken on our birthday, and we used to have chicken at Christmas. No such thing as turkey.
Yeah.
And we'd ask for chicken, roast chicken on our birthday because you were allowed to pick your dinner, and that was an expensive.
Well, if that's the case, it must have been that she had a source for chicken.
But if people kept them locally,
we didn't have chicken every day. I mean, we had chicken, you know, twice a week, and we ate soup. I remember with bones in it.
Yeah,
I mean that meat bones, and the meat from the bones would fall off, and you have some in your soup or whatever. Had a lot of potatoes anyway, and I think that I had a lot of pasta because pasta was often made. They made their own pasta. And you didn't have meat with it, you had tomato with it or whatever. And they must have had somewhere where they grew some of their vegetables. Wouldn't have been here. I don't know where. But I think people were probably poor. It's a working class area. People didn't earn huge amounts of money. And I do think, check this, that the rule was that women... had small kids, didn't work. They didn't go to work.
I'm of a generation starting to marry in the 20s about then. We're asking them, are you going to keep working?
Well, women lost their jobs in a lot of situations.
And they did.
Automatically, if they got pregnant or got married.
That's right.
Well, an airline hostess could have to be single. People. Yeah. Nobody said, was that edge where people were saying, you had a choice whether you'd work or not.
So if you had two or three kids, sometimes more, who had a one-income working man's wage, wouldn't have been rich.
No.
That's for sure. I mean, no one went to, you know, I didn't know what a private school was. No one went to a private school. They might have gone, I don't think they, maybe, I can't remember now, maybe there were local parochial schools, Catholic schools, I don't know. But none of the kids I knew, we all went to the same school. We all went to, including the Italian kids and the Greek kids, we all went to George Street. I wouldn't have known what a private school was.
And what was school like? Like, did you ever, you talked about nobody had cars, so you didn't get out much, but with school, did you ever, like, were there such things as school excursions in those days?
No, I can't remember that there were. We had sports days. I mean, George Street, I don't know what it's like now, but it just was, it had Asheville playground, right? There was no grass. It's the same buildings that I haven't gone past. Maybe they've grassed some of the area.
No.
So it was just, you know, Asheville playgrounds. And we would have gone, so we played footy Must have played footy at some park. It wouldn't have been at the Fitzroy Football Ground. I have to go there. So it must have been.
Yeah.
They must have taken us because I played football in those years. And when PE we did outside in the on the Ashfield. We,
yeah.
You know, did, but there was a football team and there was a cricket team and I played football and cricket and we went to somewhere and we played other schools
so
somewhere.
Did you go to different?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And we must have been taken by bus. We wouldn't have walked in, so it must have been. So we did that. But apart from that, school. Look, we did have, I'll tell you one very funny thing. I was the only Jewish boy child at the school at George Church. They had religious instruction. I didn't want to be singled out. So I wanted to go. I was allowed to go by school, but then my dad found out that I was going to Christian religious instruction. Now, he wasn't religious, but he didn't want me to have Christian religious instruction. Now, his English wasn't great, but he went down to school and said, isn't there something to do rather than that? So what they did was they let me play in the playground during religious instruction, which was the wrong thing to do, because, of course, all the other kids would be jealous as hell, you know?
Yeah.
Why is he allowed to? And the reason is because he's a Jew. He's
allowed to.
Yes. He's allowed to. So I remember that really clearly, those things. There were other parents later that didn't want their kids to have any form of religious instruction. I reckon they were commies or something, or they were radical, you know.
Yeah.
And didn't want their kids to, so we all played together when, but at the beginning it was just me, right?
Yeah.
And then other parents must have found out you can opt out.
Right.
And they opted out. Look, I can even remember, I mean, when the Labor Party was really a Labor Party, and the local branch of the Labor Party was really active. I mean, my dad went to those meetings. It was local. It thought those people came and kids came in and out, and often after the meetings they'd come to our shop and we'd have we had a sort of lounge room at the back of the a dining, and some of them would come back and my mum would make them tea and whatever. The Labor Party, maybe they were a liberal branch, but it was active, it was alive, it was organic, like everything else, it was organic to the area. People lived in the place where they were.
Yeah.
If kids being driven to schools, it's unheard of. We'd never even think about it or any of those things. You know, I don't think.
So
we went to town.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I should say that. Yeah, we went into the city.
Well, on the
Yes, that tram goes round the corner and
into
we did. I don't know why we went to town. We must have gone to town to go to the pictures. And, you know, sometimes we went to town at night to go to the pictures. I saw the Hunchback of Notre Dame. So I just remembered this.
Would that be good with your children or with your parents?
No, children.
Just the children, yeah.
How we got in there.
Your parents would be working in the shop.
Yeah, they were in the shop. Yeah. So we'd take the tram in and take the tram back. So I'm just waiting my kids about some of this, but let your children go and, you know, get home at 10:30 or whatever it was on the tram.
I used to do it on the bus in Adelaide in the 60s and nobody thought anything about it.
But that was a big excursion to go. We didn't do that every week. We did that once every 3 months or whatever it is. It was expensive too.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted.
You had to pay for the ticket. It cost nothing to go to the picture theatre up here. Well, it cost something, but it was, you could walk up, cost nothing.
Yeah.
It cost you, I don't know what it was, $2. Must have been less because you could get a meal of fish and chips. I remember, for 9p at the fish and chip shop. So a piece of fish, some chips and a potato cake cost you 9p.
I remember getting 6p worth of chips.
Yeah, 6p worth of chips was a big deal.
Well, yeah.
Or you could get for 6p 3 potato cakes and chips.
Wow.
Yes. Anyway, so, but the world was, didn't feel small. Those kids, you know, the world is what they
experience.
Yeah. I never had a yearning to go and see other things, go somewhere else, some other.
I mean, without media, like media and television, are you kind of even aware that other things exist to you?
No, that's right. I read books. Some of us. I had a teacher in grade five that I really liked, and she encouraged read books. Most of those kids in year six didn't go on to Fitzroy High. They went on to Collingwood Tech. Well, a lot of them went to Collingwood Tech. It was the closest tech school you could go to. Most of them had plans to be tradesmen. When my father went to see my sixth grade teacher, he suggested that I should go to tech school, become a printer, because printing was then the king of the trades.
Yeah.
And that decision. A printing job left.
Yeah.
So I do think a lot of the kids went on to tech schools. Some of them were enrolled in Fitzroy High too. Must have gone on to Fitzroy High. But, you know, it's like a lot of these things. When you're a kid, how was I to maintain contact with...
Yeah. No mobile phone.
There's no mobile phone.
Yeah.
Most people didn't have a phone. We didn't have a phone. We didn't have a phone in the shop. As far as I can remember, we didn't have a phone. We made phone calls, kids do, from phone boxes.
Yeah.
If the person that you wanted to ring had a phone. We had a phone when we moved to Caulfield. And then, but I was miserable for the first 2 years of that. Missed my friends terribly.
Did you ever get to come back here in those few years?
Yeah, I came back by myself. Not till I was at high school. But then I did. And then over the years, I came back. I took trams, came back. The shop was gone by the time, as a shop at a milk bar, can't remember, I was still in high school. Did it become some photography place or something?
I don't know about that, but when I've been here nearly then, it was a dental technician.
Right, it was. And it had been for some time.
How had it? Okay, yeah. Right. Bradley Toon.
Right.
But your parents sold it as a milk bar to someone else who took it on as a milk bar.
Yeah. And like a lot of milk bars died. I mean, there were fewer of them. Every corner used to have a milk bar.
Well, and now they're houses. So
that's right.
Yeah. Even in the 70s, every corner in Fitzroy and North Fitzroy used to have a corner shop.
And I guess I would have liked to move back here as older, but my wife had grown up in St Kilda, wanted to live in St Kilda. I mean, I love St Kilda. I love it. St Kilda still has less and less some of that feeling of a mixed suburb. Yeah. It's not all yuppies, and you know there are still boarding houses. There are still also, you know, poor people, there is, you know. But I would have liked to have come back and live here. While I think it would have been different, I don't know. Yeah. If I would have come back and, you know, I would have wanted to live in these streets, not North Fitzroy, which was like a different world. I never knew North Fitzroy anyway. And when I go there now, it's sort of like...
People still say this is the best part of Fitzroy.
Yeah.
Sojo, south of Johnston.
This is the real Fitzroy.
Yes.
So there you are.
Yeah, which is still, you know, like you said about St Kilda, I mean, it's still, Fitzroy is still mixed. There is still, I mean, I live in North Fitzroy, and like the difference between North Fitzroy and Fitzroy, even now, is still quite distinct.
Yeah. And you can see it in the houses. I mean, you can see it in the streets. You can see it.
I mean, yes, lots of yuppies and young people and that have moved in, but there's still a lot of the older people. I mean, around where I live, I must admit, there's still quite a few of the old Italian mummers there who still don't speak English. Like they, you know, walk past my place and we kind of like have a strange sort of chat over the fence because they look at my garden and,
but they don't speak
English still.
No. But obviously there was that division between North Fitzroy and when I was a kid because we didn't go there. I mean, and those kids didn't go to George Street. Whoever lived, I don't think they would have gone to George. Maybe they did.
They would have gone to North Fitzroy Primary.
Right. So you're kind of, when we were kids, defined by the school you go to, too. I mean, that's where, in the sense, that's where...
friends are.
Yes, they're there. They're there at that, you know. So, but, you know, the house where the Italians lived looks the same as it looked.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed. A lot of the cottages don't look all that different. I don't know what they've done inside. Yeah. I mean,
so you can still walk around the streets and recognise
the houses, Yeah, I mean, the brothel's been really done up.
Well, I was amused when you told me that because
when I came here, accommodation run by, I think...
Oh, well, there you are. How appropriate.
I just love the contrast.
Yeah. But now it looks like it's been done up and it's not
It was like a refuge for children or something. Oh, yeah. Well, I can't remember. But then, and it's been done up by Arson. I think she's quite a good architect.
Okay.
And that she doesn't live there anymore. Right. She did it up.
But you know, they haven't, maybe because they... Houses haven't been pulled down on here. There hasn't been a sort of... Have they? I mean, they don't look
Well, some have, but it's hard. It's not like the 70s. Anything that didn't get pulled down in the 70s and early 80s is probably, at least the facade of it might be safe.
Right.
Because by the time, you know, there is a reasonable heritage overlay.
Right.
I think. So if you walked in the door, you might not recognise the house. Right. But the facade.
So that facade of that house... Next door might be, inside might be completely...
Oh, inside might have two stories and be white from wall to wall with, you know, the whole white thing.
Okay, well, and what's happened with the shop? What's there now?
When Bradley moved out, was bought or rented, it's owned by a lawyer, and shop, but now it's Nevada's workroom.
Right.
So, and then the two women, older woman and a young
woman. This could be quite a nice house if you...
I've been in there just once when it was open.
My memory is that there
were... That's my
family.
Yeah, I did.
My memory is that there are only two rooms upstairs. Yep. There's a room, a bigger room downstairs beyond the shopfront area.
The one you said was the doctor.
Yeah. And that's all there...
I remember when I went through, there was some really
interesting... Oh, yeah. Well, it had... It was, kind of... It was sort of Victorian moulding.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
So it's my great pleasure.
Very much for that. Well, and I was going to...